If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and love and light of the most radiant one, the Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is relying on the inner reality. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward as a continuum of birthless and deathless consciousness that is divine, ever one with Source, pure and eternally holy and whole. Take a deep breath and bring that column, that life stream of light, right down to the top of your head, into your entire body, and anchor it into the soul star in the center of the earth, right through your feet. And expand it to include your aura and establish yourself in your own beingness, in your own divine space. Have a place and a space in this cosmos that is specifically yours. So occupy, beloveds, occupy. And we best occupy by expanding our awareness so that everything within the encompassment of our awareness is wrapped in our love. That's how we express that divine nature that is the inner reality. Now, as you live and move and have your being in this expanded sense of self, which is non-localized awareness, in that it has no limitations, no boundaries. It's as vast and as cosmic as you wish it to be. And in fact, it includes the totality of all your immersions in time-space that you've learned to think of as lifetimes. In truth, there are no such things. There is just, let's say, focalized points of specific attention placed into the fabric of time and space. But in reality, you sit at the center of them all, witnessing them, but hopefully not getting entangled in them. Our troubles arise when we get caught up and entangled and enmeshed in the doings of time and space. And when we come into a human form, we have something that's unique. We have an ego mind. The ego is the version of self that we believe, dream, think of as separate. That sense of separateness from the all that is forms its own little self-created prison. And that little sense of separation is what keeps us from the full awareness of our oneness with all life. When we can allow that part of the mind to shrivel and atrophy and literally be shined away by the glory of our expanded divine sense of self, it just simply dissolves like a little puff of cloud before the sun. When we allow that expansion of our inner awareness to shine that little miserable, limited sense of self away, we find that we have entered into what's called spiritual liberation and genuine freedom. And joy that goes beyond anything we could possibly imagine. That little sense of separation is located in the brain and it's about the size of a woman's thumb or the size of a peanut. And yet we allow that little nothingness to cause us to act out in ways that set us out of harmony with life. You know, we just entered 2011, and already there is such a new sense of energy that has entered in, and many, many signs in the heavens and upon earth. In fact, we could say that nature and all of its ecosystems are conveying a specific message to us. The message is this: humanity, the one that was designed to be the complete steward and caretaker and way shower on planet Earth, is out of balance. And because of that, everything in nature is not flourishing and healthy, because we are the driving engine. We are the embodied God workers on this planet, through which the Supreme Creator does all things, through human hands and feet, through human choice, through human endeavor and activity. And yet we see people sitting and waiting for something to come and save them, something to land from the sky or to come supernaturally and fix it for them. But the fixing can only occur through our realignment with reality. And that reality is in you as you. It is omnipresent with you. You don't have to go outside of your own inner tabernacle to be in reality. But if you look out from your reality through the holes in your face that contain your eyes, you will see a distorted, illusory appearance that is colored and conditioned by that little peanut that believes it's seeing a separate world with separate people. And whatever sense of separation enters in, you have fear. And from fear, every form of evil emerges. And nature is telling us. It is praying for us. It is praying to us. It says all of nature is in travail, awaiting the emergence of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? The proactive light, as you and me, and those of us that call ourselves light bearers. In truth, there is not so much light bearing as there is fantasy that people run and imagine and think they're living a spiritual life. A spiritual life is evidenced by compassion and empathy. It is not sitting cross-legged and cross-eyed and shutting out the world and ignoring what's happening in the room next to you. It's getting involved, but even while you're involved, remembering that of yourself you do nothing. So the impersonal self acts through the compassion of the loving and opened and expanded awareness, which has become wedded with the heart. That produces a totally transformative life. Now, when we entered 2011, before the clock even struck 12 in some parts of the world, nature was releasing a sign. It was said that there would be signs in the heavens and upon earth. And the sign visiting America, several different states, and as I searched the web today, I found this phenomena is happening throughout the world. Birds are falling dead from the sky, and fish are washing up by the thousands upon the shores and in Chesapeake Bay. And other life forms are evidencing extreme duress and stress. Whales and dolphins are losing their sense of direction. Birds are upset in their migratory patterns. And the bees have been decimated by their dwindling numbers. And nobody really knows why. oh, the theories and the conspiracies, and the finger pointing goes out in all directions except where it belongs, to your own heart. There's something very wrong with the heart when it closes itself down and is no longer a conduit for unconditional divine love to flow through. In fact, do you know that every body, every single physical vehicle of a human being that no longer sources the loving vibration immediately begins to self-destruct? Yes, the body was given to you for one purpose, to communicate the heart, mind, love, and expression of divinity and make it visible in time and space. When we do not do that, the body begins to self-destruct, because when you don't use something for what it's intended to be used for, it begins to rust and degenerate. And this is what we're seeing, because our planet was meant to be nourished and addressed from our divinity. We are the light and sound codes that are meant to be spoken and walked upon the earth. When we're not in alignment with ourselves as the living word and the living light of eternal source, nothing in nature can flourish. Now, we've entered a time in which we have to live in a very different way. The energies on the planet now are completely shifted. We're entering, I believe, the time that has been foretold in the scriptures, when there would be signs in the heavens and upon earth. We're seeing so many things that are strange that no one can really comprehend. They have to be discerned spiritually, and we don't comprehend them when we rely on the little peanut brain of the ego self. They can only be intuited prophetically by an aligned and spirit-filled awareness and consciousness. The great cosmic avatar, Satya Sai Baba, said that we have entered this new year of Mahabharata. Mahabharata is the epic story that took place in the Dwapara Yuga, the time of Lord Krishna, the avatar Krishna. And it involves a huge battle which occurred during that yuga. And it was a battle between the five godly Pandavas, five godly sons of God, and 100 Kauravas, which were the demonic embodied beings at that time. It was an actual historical event that occurred. You can Google it and read about it to your heart's content. But the bottom line here is, have we entered into a time that is going to be characterized by a more dramatic outpicturing of this fighting, this warring between the forces of goodness and the forces of evil? I really don't know how else I could possibly interpret a year of Mahabharata. However, I have heard Sai Baba also say that the battle is being waged within the human heart and mind. Again, the inner reality, as far as you and I are concerned, is where we live and park ourselves in our assemblage point every single day. Where do we live from? What is the reality? Well, you only have to look at your own life. You only have to look at what has manifested from the heart, mind, body, intention, and actions of your mind-body complex to see what you are living from and expressing as your reality. So, during this time of the Battle of the Kurukshetra in the Mahabharata, the great epic of India, the small number of godly people represented by the five Pandavas, who were led by God, represented by Krishna, overcame and defeated the 100 demonic Kauravas. So goodness always wins. It doesn't take a lot of it. A small amount, like leavening, can cause the entire collective to transcend and ascend to a higher level. And that's what we have to do. We have to be mighty in our comparatively smaller number on this planet. Sai Baba also said that the various individuals in this time were personified by nations, so that Krishna, the God force, was represented by India. The chief Pandava, that was guided by Krishna, that is to say Arjuna, which means the pure white warrior, is represented by the United States. Russia is Bhishma, which was the strong man of the Kauravas. And I don't remember him mentioning any of the others, but all of the nations that are playing a major role on the world stage today would be personifications of this energy that we see on the planet. And we can only discern by what we see exemplified in a person's life, whether they be of the godly nature. The godly nature is revealed through forgiveness, compassion, love, tenderness, kindness, goodness, peace, joy, and good works. And we were all created to manifest a certain number of godly and good and noble works, every one of us. So if we're not exemplifying this goodly fruit of the divine spirit, then it can be taken that we're either totally clueless and out of touch with our inner reality, or we're of a negative nature. Those of a negative demonic nature are not going to be able to progress very much longer upon the planet. They are self-destructing and departing the planet at a rapid rate. They cannot sustain themselves. Why? Because we are sustained by the love of God. When I say love, it's not that wimpy sentimentality and emotional attachment that most human beings equate with love. True love is very impersonal. It's unconditioned. It's sent forth like the rays of the sun. It falls alike on all. But to those who are open and receptive, it manifests as grace. Grace is when you open and allow that which is greater to fill you with that which transcends yourself. It's incomprehensible, but through grace you can transcend all of the laws and move into the divine transcendental. So, even those who call themselves light workers can still be seen involving themselves in personal disputes and quarreling. So even if we cannot live in loving harmony with our spouses or with one another or with our children, what hope does the rest of the world have? You know, we are here to be the way showers. So the battlefield that we need to really become the spiritual warrior upon is in monitoring those thoughts. Because it's the thoughts that we allow to rest in the mind. And remember, there is a thought stream. So the thoughts that enter your mind aren't necessarily your thoughts. They're just thoughts. And they flow like a river. But they will catch in those rocks and crags that jut out into your river where you have, let's say, energy on an issue. Or attachment. That's how you get snagged. So we need to watch and monitor what we come into agreement with in our thought field, in our thought stream. Now, as we enter into this cycle, and if I understand Sai Baba correctly, we are entering into approximately a 7-year period of time in which all upon earth will be brought to their knees. Sounds very strong, but I have to say it like I heard it when I was in his presence. The good people, those with love in their hearts and genuine devotion to God, will be protected. Those filled with hatred will suffer the backlash of what they've created by their choice. And, you know, of course, these messages and teachings have been going out in the case of Sai Baba for 71 years. So it's always the same message, no matter what the messenger. All life is one. Love all, serve all. God is love. So live in love. It's always the same message. Why is it so hard for people just to simply live in harmony with their divine self? Well, you know, I think it's because we need to prioritize it in our lives. If we really thought our life depended upon our moving into this harmonious state and staying there, not allowing anything to pull us out, I think we would be more proactive in prioritizing it. Like the Course in Miracles said, when peace is more important to you than conflict, you will have peace. So when survival in the times ahead depends on our being in harmony with our divine nature and living in loving goodwill and harmony with all beings, we may choose to prioritize it. So to have awareness of the continual presence of God, we need to make God and experiencing God our top priority. If we do that, put all of our intention upon God and experiencing God within ourselves as love, and then expressing that divine love in everyday random acts of kindness and helpfulness, then our life comes into balance. And nature itself is fostered by those who live in harmony and only love. So what does that look like on a daily basis? Well, number one, this is absolutely so important. I can't stress it enough. Use the Christ light to keep yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally clear and balanced. And clear up negativity immediately, before it can build up and create a karmic backlash. You have 60 seconds before karma locks in. So you need to watch the energy that you're putting out at all times. I'm going to lead you now in a very simple clearing action. It takes just seconds. You can do it when you wake up in the morning. You can do it if you step out of balance during the day. And please do it before you go to sleep at night. You're going to take a deep breath, and you're going to visualize over your head a ball of beautiful, beautiful violet light. Take a deep breath and bring that down to the top of your head. Bring it all the way through your body. See it touching to every one of your organs and limbs and chakras, and flush it out through your feet. Now bring above your head a beautiful golden light. Bring it into a ball. This is a beautiful, beautiful light of the living Christ. Take a deep breath and bring it down to your body. Top of your head, all the way through your body, out your feet. And now take a third ball of light. This one is going to be pure God consciousness. And this is iridescent, white, clear, translucent light. Again, take a deep breath. Bring that ball of light right down to the top of your head, the bottom of your feet, and out. And then ask that anything that is not for your highest good clear now in the name, power, and authority of Jesus Christ. And ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, guide you, teach you, and manifest through you and all of the ninefold fruit of a godly life. That's it. Now, remember, in this universe, we are recognized by our energy signature. And our energy, when it's expressed properly and in harmony with divine love, develops and matures into God consciousness. So we actually create our own spiritual identity and individuality, conditioned and colored, if you will, by all of our immersions in time, space, and manifestation. We become unique within our own particular chrysalis of divinity, and then we're recognized upon the inner planes. Like everyone can recognize the Christ and Buddha and Krishna and the great sons of God by their energy of individuality. They have long since transcended the need for a specific form, but they can enter in and out of form as they need to in their ministry and in their service. They can manifest in through millions and millions of forms. They're not limited. And that's how we are also designed to function and operate. This is what we're being taught by the universe, to expand our awareness, to awaken within more and more hearts and more places, until eventually we can find no place where we do not reside. That is where we're headed. So there are actually many people on Earth who have not developed any consciousness whatsoever. You might think that's impossible, but no, look around you. There are people that are living in such an unconscious manner that we would have to call them subhumans. They've never put any intention towards living above the brutish level. Now, these are the ones that will not be able to survive in these new energies. And they're going to be leaving and continuing to leave the planet in increasingly large numbers. That is just simply what happens at the close of one age and the inauguration of a new age. We have fully completed, as of last year, the Kali Yuga, the 26,000-year cycle. We're past it. We're already into now the new. So we've been told for thousands of years that this day would come, and it's finally arrived. But before our full entrance into that golden age, into that ascended earth vibration, you know, that at least we lightworkers long to enter, the necessary clearing out of all the unprepared must occur. So everyone is aware at a soul level, you know, that they've come in for a certain allotment of time. And whenever anyone leaves the planet, whether they've lived only for a few hours or for many years, trust that they've completed what they needed to experience within that period of time. Not one single soul leaves without their consent at a spiritual level, and no one leaves at all unless it is their time to go, regardless of the situation in which they depart. There is a divine plan, you know, and each soul is here by divine consent and arrangement, and each one has a lesson to learn and something to contribute, however briefly that stay might be. So what are you learning? What's your life been about? What can you say of your own inner reality is so for you that you know that you know that you know? You know? What is it? What's your life been invested in? And what is your next step in confronting that very thing that you least want to face, admit, and deal with? It's time to get face-to-face with the Lord and do business with Him. How do we do business with the Lord? Well, a good way to approach it is to say something in the nature of, I surrender myself and my whole life with all my desires and fears into your safekeeping, O Lord. I trust you to give me only what you know I need for my highest spiritual destiny and growth. And I accept whatever that may be. So, you know, when you've learned to give it all up, to yield yourself fully to God and let Him have His way with you, and trust and accept whatever comes down in your life is the best thing for you. That is the way to really embrace of this time that we have remaining in this dimension. So keep yourself spiritually connected and keep yourself clear energetically. And what does this entail? It means, number one, watch your words. Think before you speak or email. Is this really loving? Is it kind? And is it necessary? And remember, you have to put the warmth and the smile in your email, because we're learning on these social networking sites that we are known by the tone of our status reports, our emails. So put that loving, that smile, that compassion. And whatever you communicate, make that your intention. And if you have to rewrite an email 10 times to get it to where it doesn't have any negative energy, do what you have to do. But don't invest any part of yourself in negativity. Number two, watch your thoughts. Be aware when your mind heads south into judging and harboring unloving, unkind thoughts, and head it off at the pass. Say immediately, cancel, deflect, disconnect from these thoughts. I yield these thoughts and take them captive to Christ. I cover them with the blood of Christ. I wash my mind with the blood of Christ. And get real proactive in taking charge of that mind and cleansing it and filling it with the light of Christ and the holiness that is God's thoughts also in that same mind. You may have a little peanut ego in there, but the rest of your mind is occupied by your, you know, that 90%, that's the God part of your mind. So fill your mind and flush out the little peanut ego, monkey mind self, and allow the fullness of your brain and mind to be occupied by God. And yes, your thoughts create karma also, the same as your actions. And we are personally held accountable for our every thought, word, and deed. And make no mistake about it, we will all at some point stand before God and the karmic board to account for every single thing we've said, thought, or done. So this is like serious spiritual warriorship that we're being called to walk in now. Intense vigilance and accountability. So, next, watch your actions. Remember that actions follow thoughts, but in spiritual understanding, the thought and the action are one and the same. No difference. So that's why Jesus said to even think of someone with lust in your heart and mind, you have already committed adultery with them. To harbor vengeance and anger and hatred towards someone, according to spiritual understanding, is the same as actually murdering them. In fact, we even have the term, if looks could kill. Well, they are judged that way in the spiritual levels. This passage into the higher dimensions, I've told you before, has zero tolerance for unloving thoughts, words, and deeds. Unlovingness is going to get trapped in that fourth density sieve that is sifting people. We're being sifted. You know, the Bible says we're being sifted like wheat, and the chaff is going to fall and be consumed with fire. That means that the only thing that is endowed with eternal life is that which is godlike. So if you've lived the life of a hellion and all that you have created and manifested has been evil, that falls aside like the chaff and is consumed at the end of the age. So it's very important that we imbue ourselves with that which is eternal, that can go into the eternal realms of divinity. So watch your actions, because the actions follow the thoughts. But if you allow negative thoughts to fuel your actions, then you're going to reap karmically exactly the same in return. So think and pay attention before you act, or get involved with something that you know is going to lead you someplace you don't want to end up. You know before you get involved. We all know. We just pretend, that the rules don't apply to us. But they do. Next, watch your heart. Is your heart open and clear towards everyone? And I mean everyone. Is there anyone you can think of that if you saw them coming down the street, you would try to become invisible or cross the street and try to avoid them or hide behind a tree? Is there anyone that brings up that vibration in you? If so, it's mandatory for your own survival that you forgive them. You don't have to feel it. You just do it as an act of faith and obedience. And you do it and keep doing it over and over until the energy on that situation or that person, whatever it is, just is dissipated and dissolved. You'll know when it is because you won't think about it anymore. People you don't call to mind, you don't have karma with. So don't go looking to stir up karma with people that you know you're not in affinity with. Don't try to create relationships of a personal nature that are not already present in your life. If they're present in your life and they still are present in your life and in your face, then you have unfinished business with those people. But if they pass out of your life, the lesson is complete. So you must forgive and release. And that includes those who passed into spirit. They can still receive your thoughts. So release them too. And you can also write letters to them and burn them. They do that in the Orient all the time. So these are practices that we can also do. You can write a letter to your deceased mother or father, sister, brother, whoever, your spouse that you didn't get along with, and forgive them and set them free. Give them the blessing of your grace and see them also as co-equal in the eyes of God. There are no special kids in God's family. We're all exactly the same. No one is loved any more and no one is loved any less. So the other area that you need to watch is your character. What kind of character do you have? Do you have a godly character? Do you live in a way that sets a noble example for others? Do you even think of that? Well, you're a child of God. And if you say you're a Christian or a light worker or a person that is awakened spiritually, the whole world is going to watch everything you do and try to see where you're being a hypocrite. You can't name the name unless you're playing the game. You gotta get in there and be what you say you are without compromise, without wimping out, without cutting corners. Be true to yourself. If you're not true to yourself, you're not going to be true to anything. So you are a child of God meant to develop into a Christ-like, masterful individual. You're a Christ in training. So allow the Holy Spirit to teach you from within yourself. That's the inner master, the only inner master. Let the Holy Spirit teach you to live as the love that you truly are. So this new, very different cycle of energy has obviously entered. And it's amazing the things that we're seeing in the cosmos. There are huge storms that are happening on the sun, but also on Saturn. And the red spot disappeared for a while on Jupiter, and it's doing different things. Everything in the universe is manifesting some very unique characteristics that I believe are the signs that the Bible spoke of that we would see in the sky and the signs upon the earth. Some of those signs upon the earth, I believe, are the crop circles, as well as birds falling from the sky and other things that are happening. By the way, I like to get up in the morning and listen to the bird call and have coffee with God. I always like my God talk in the morning. And I have noticed for well over a week that there were no birds, because I always listen for certain ones that have extremely beautiful bird calls very, very early in the morning. And well over a week, I have not heard any birds. The ones that usually line up on the fence outside my window that I have coffee with every morning, they haven't shown up. The crows that I adore because they remind me of India, which the crows are what you hear 24/7 in India. They're always calling. There's been no calling crows. The woodpecker's silent. Everything is quiet. And that's really, really odd. I wonder if that's happened to you where you happen to live. I'm up in the high desert above Los Angeles, so we have lots of birds. But when I went out for a walk, there was not a single bird to be seen. None in the trees around our house, nothing. So I think that's indicative of a geomagnetic shift in the energy that affects, you know, nature is very sensitive. We've become too numbed out with television and cell phones, and, you know, we've always got something blaring in our ears. But nature, you got to watch nature, because it always lets you know when the seasons are changing and what to expect for the next cycle and season. And birds, maybe you don't know it, but according to the Master Moria of Brotherhood in Shambhala, birds, by their sound, their twittering, and insects, by the sounds they give off, are what hold the earth in balance. That's how important a bird is, how important our insects are. And the other thing that's very important is pollen. Pollen in our flowers and plants, according to the Master, is what gives energy and vitality and prana to the planet. Wow. So when you translate that into the bees now that are not carrying that pollen, and you translate it to the silence of the birds and the birds falling from the sky, and you realize that, according to estimation, 60,000 different species are becoming extinct every day, we realize that something is really, really, really trying to get our attention on this planet. It, I believe, is so important for us, however we have to do it, to make on this planet war illegal. I think we have to have a not only a nuclear warfare ban, but a ban on warfare itself. As long as blood is shed into this planet, we're going to keep recreating the karma of bloodshed and war. And yes, I know this is a warring planet, and everything in nature, it seems, is fighting a different species or a species of a different color. But we're also told that we're moving into the time when the infant will play with the snake near the snake pit, and the lion will eat straw with the lamb. We're already seeing in nature uncanny bonding of the animals that are very, very dissimilar. I mean, we all saw the tiger suckling the piglets, for heaven's sakes. So we're seeing in nature that nature itself is getting the message. And we have to get the message too. Or, you know, we just simply will self-destruct and the earth will go on doing what the earth does and has done for millions of years and billions of years. But you know what? We are ancient beings that have been here, according to theosophical estimation, 18 and a half, are you ready for this? Million years. So you'd think there would be some evolutionary evidence of some expansion of conscious awareness, don't you think? So that's why I don't speak down to you. I speak very, very strongly into your lives because I believe that we're at a time when we're not served by patting ourselves on the back and calling ourselves ascended masters. When we can't pay our rent, we can't be nice and loving to the people that share the same table with us. We harbor all sorts of ungodly momentums in our hearts and minds and behaviors and activities. We're just kidding ourselves. We're just playing games. But it's not going to fly. It's not going to allow us to transform into that Christed race that is designed to make the exodus across this time-space continuum into the new universe, governed by the Shekinah spirit. So somewhere we have to take responsibility for ourselves and make an irrevocable choice to repent, which means to rethink what we're doing with our lives. I was thinking of the guy standing on the street corner, you know, with the sign that says, "Repent, for the end is near." Well, you know, it's really not so funny when you watch the birds falling and the fish washing up on the shore and more wars and rattling of sabers going on, all this nonsense. You know, maybe the end is near. And maybe we do need to repent, which means to rethink and to turn our lives Godward. You know, nobody's going to do that for you. Nobody's going to ascend for you. No one's going to raise your vibration for you. Even a guru can only kind of back off your karma for a while and put you a little bit under their wing and take you as far as they can go. But even finding a guru who has gone all the way is well nigh impossible. You can only find people who can take you a little bit of the way. And then again, you're left on your own. So it all boils down to the fact it's you and God. You came into this world, you and God alone. You're going to leave this world, you and God alone. Whether it's today, tomorrow, 10 years from now. What if you lived your life as if this was the only day you had? Would you live it differently? Would you go to bed tonight in a different way if you knew you wouldn't awaken in the morning? The thing of it is, we don't know, do we? Sai Baba said that death is like a photographer. He's always following you around, ready to snap your picture when you least expect it. I think Don Juan, Carlos, told Carlos Castaneda, "You don't have time for that BS. Your death is stalking you." Remember those wonderful books by Carlos Castaneda? Yeah, we don't have time for any BS. We have to be proactive in manifesting the best we've got to manifest with this little tiny window of time we have left. And, you know, it may get an awful lot tougher on the planet before it gets any brighter. I know there's many wonderful prophecies of what we're moving into, but you know what? That sifting, that old sifter, isn't going to let that which is not worthy of eternal life pass through. So bring yourself up into the highest vibration of compassion and caring and loving, and ride your case like you've never ridden it before. Don't cut yourself any slack. Put aside everything that you've had an issue with. Bless it, grace it, and release it. And get on with your life now, today. Don't reference to the past. Many of us are being told that we are in the time when we are in no time. That sounds like an oxymoron, and it was. But how do you express no time? Do we have any concept of that whatsoever? Of course not. The whole of our sense of a self and identity has been involved with identifying with a timeline. And with time itself, what would it be like to live in a totally fresh, virginal state of consciousness. I don't know. I'm going to find out with all the rest of you. You know, we're all in this together. We're all doing it together. And I'm just doing my best to do the same thing I'm advising you folks to consider doing. You know, we all have that free will choice. And if we don't make it this time, hey, there'll be another 26,000-year cycle, and we probably won't remember it. But what if you had the opportunity to go home to God this time and not have to reincarnate ever again on a fallen world locked in the third density? Wouldn't that be awesome? But the price of that is making love and God, which is really one and the same thing, your top priority, and then living like it. I think we can do it. I have great faith in all of us. I have great faith in myself because I know who dwells within me and does all things through me. And you can have that same knowing. Get to know the God of your heart. Make that God of your heart your all in all. Awaken in the morning and take the hand of that beloved. Oh, you give it the name and form you want. But walk with God, whatever you want to call God, however you want to envision God. But walk with the divine. And walk with the divine throughout the day. Commune with the divine beloved all the time as you go about your daily activities. Ask for clarity and guidance and wisdom and discernment. And that your feet be kept on the highest path for your highest good. And at night when you go to sleep, die to this world. So if you don't awaken in the morning, you go right into the heart of God. Live a holy life, which means a whole life. A life that's filled with the whole spirit, which is your own holiness. It's your own inner reality. Dwell in that. And don't even go there in any lesser state. You don't have to. And so, walk in that peace that comes from that kind of lifestyle. I think we can all encourage each other in doing that. It's not as hard as you think. It's just choosing that and making that your priority. I recommend A Course in Miracles. That is the best study for that particular loving expression and understanding of life that I have ever found on the planet Earth. I totally recommend the 365 lessons that are one for each day that are found in the workbook. I recommend the whole kit and caboodle. Just get The Course in Miracles if you want to know how to live in God and be that higher consciousness while you walk in the world. It's all laid out for you and your walk through each step of the way. So I'm pretty excited about the year ahead. I think it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be intense. But you know what? We who are spiritual warriors prefer to have it intense because then we can demonstrate and overcome and express and build the muscles of our own inner reality and spirituality. And, you know, I was thinking, too, of the people who have had a near-death experience and returned. Every single one of them returns with the same message, that only loving each other matters, and living each day to the fullest extent, and appreciating our family and our loved ones, and that precious and way too fragile gift of life. Life is fragile. It's precious. And it's not forever. We don't know that we have tomorrow. We only know that we have this moment, and we need to bring the fullness of all that we can bring to each moment of our life and cherish it, because as you can see, the time is really speeding up. So it probably will continue to speed up until it blurs out of our awareness entirely. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting the beautiful Anai Hu, which is the chant of empathy and oneness. Deep breath. Anai Hu. And listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, wishing all of our ground crew and the light workers of the world a very blessed and divinely guided 2011. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.